As you know, we're in a sermon series, as we typically do in September, our values. And we talk through our values because our values, in a way, they kind of shape and give us direction in terms of how we make decisions and what does that look like and who do we want to be and what does that look like. And so last week, Pastor Preston talked about our value of story. And the best word or the best description I could give for you, and I would love for you to remember this, is that at Lake Ridge, we believe that the Bible is the story of God and his people. You hear this? The Bible is the story of God and his people. And he is still writing that story on our lives. So we value not only the scriptures, but we also value your story. Because your story actually dictates how you read the biblical story. You hear me? Actually, your events and your story, they do contribute to how you even understand and read the scriptures. So when we talk about story at Lake Ridge, we're talking about twofold. We're not just talking about the story of God, but we're talking about your story. And that's part of the reason why we create space at Lake Ridge for people to share their stories, no matter how clean and awesome they look, or how broken and maybe messy they look. We value that because this is how. This is how we come to know God in a deeper way. So story is one of our values, and Pastor Preston talked about that last week. I thought he did a great job. Community is there another one, and I'm going to talk about communities in a second, so we'll just skip over. Generosity is one of our values as well. I think Pastor Preston's talking about that next week, and that means more than just giving to the church. You hear me? That's important. It is important that as you learn to give generously, that actually God is doing something inside of your heart. It's more than money. This isn't just about money. When we talk about generosity, we talk about, well, what has God gifted us with? And as we learn to be generous with that, as we learn to hold the things that we even own loosely, God shapes us and does something very unique in us that actually I'm not so certain can be done any other way. So generosity isn't just about getting people to give to church, even though we do need you to do that. It is actually about allowing God to transform you in the shaping of your giving. I know he's done that with me. So that's my pastoral challenge. That actually, it is important that we become giving people, not just with our money, but with our time and our talents as well. Eric is going to use his time and his talents to give generously to Lake Ridge. And each of us is kind of called to do that. Worship, because we have not done a big thing on worship, we're going to be doing that one last, and we're going to take several weeks, actually, to talk about the value of worship. And here's my definition of worship for you, that worship is our response to the overflowing love of God. You hear me? Please do not mix worship up with music. That will be a very short-sighted perspective of worship. So if you think about worship, worship is the way that you respond to the outpouring of God's love into you. And then we respond by using all of the things that are present to us. Whatever it is that you do in the name of God is an act of worship. You hear me? So that can be building something, which I love to do. That can be singing something or writing something. That can be serving in other areas. These are places and ways that we learn to actually worship. Today we're going to talk about community. And it's interesting because I actually really look forward to talking about community, and I have over the last several years of our existence, because community challenges us, and even though all of our values connect to each other, community is the one value that actually flows kind of in and out of each of the values that we have. Okay? The story is your story, and God's story is connected to our worship, and that's connected to our practice of generosity. But every one of those values actually contributes to community. Okay? So here's why this is why I like this one, okay? When we talk about our value of story and telling stories, we become connected deeper as a community. Now you know Eric a little bit more, right? The product of a single mom. I grew up going to the Catholic tradition, right? And you get to know him. And as you get to hear more of his struggles, you will get to know more and more about him. And as you do that with each other, you get to know more and more about each other. And community goes deeper. But when we talk about community at Lake Ridge, we're not just talking about this community. We're talking about that community also. And we're going to get to that in a second. Okay? We talk about generosity. Generosity is flowing out in community all over the place. You use your time and talents, you volunteer, you get involved somewhere, and guess what? You develop community with the people that you serve with. It just naturally happens, right? When you learn to be generous financially towards the church, well, actually, you are helping us to propel out into the community, which actually is the goal, to be propelled out into the community. Right? So sometimes I love it when people get mixed up, like when I talk about community, are you talking about this? Like this community, or are you talking about that one? And the point is, yes. Yes, that's the answer. We're always talking about both. We should be very careful about talking about this inside community and that outside community, because the way that God sees community, right, is that they are a part of his great and grand plan, his kingdom. We're no more special in this room than those who are not in this room, in the eyes of God. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And then worship. Man, we talk about worship a lot on these different things. And here's how worship, in an interesting way, just a little tidbit. And we'll talk a little bit more about this during our thing. But do you know when we sing, that's just not the only form of worship, like I've already said. There's an interesting thing that happens in this community that actually we don't think about very often. You may not like to sing. You may not have a beautiful voice like Melissa or whatever. But do you know that when you sing, and we sing together, there's an interesting thing that starts to happen in this room. And here's what it is. Collectively, we breathe at the same time. You thought of that? There's a very mysterious thing about breathing together. Remember? And we've talked about this before. I'm not going to get deep into this. But the very Yahweh, the very breath of God, being taken in, inhaled and exhaled at the same time, draws us together as a community. Mysterious thing. So you might not like to sing. No problem. But when you do, when we do this thing that affects us as a community. Just think about that the next time we sing a song. The person next to you is breathing at the same time as you. Isn't that crazy? That's pretty cool. Anyways, so we're going to talk about all those things as we kind of get into them. But this morning, I want to just give a real quick kind of community thing. Okay? I think that one of the things for me personally, and even as I've talked to other people, that community does do is that it shapes us. And so when we hear and we gather together as a community, there is this profoundly important thing that God is shaping us, sometimes with the same words, the same common language that we hear. So as you hear Pastor Preston or you hear me talk or whatever, you begin to understand some of the words that we use, and this common language is what draws us together. Now, lots of you have said, it's weird, Lake Ridge isn't a church like other churches I've been to. And part of that is because the way in which Pastor Preston, even the way in which I speak about the kingdom of God, about our faith, our spirituality together, becomes this interesting common language. I did a wedding on Friday, and I told them one of the best and most important things you can do to grow deeper in your relationship with each other is to work at common language. Any married people here? Used words that one person used in one context and another heard in another context. Yeah, you can't say them in here. Right? This is the common language. And so the more and more as you get, this is why, you know, I'm not going to pick on people, but typically, you know, old married people. You've had all these years, like Dell, since he put himself out there. Pat's not old, but Dell is certainly old. Okay? this common language starts to take place. And the longer you're married, right, the more you understand what each other is, hopefully, I'm 25 years in, hopefully, the common language and the words that I use, Kristen understands, because we've practiced them. And unfortunately for us, we didn't hear that in our early married years, and so we had to wrestle with them and even be hurt by using words that I was using and she was hearing different. When we gather together as a community in this space, we get to learn some of the common language. And the common language develops in us a deeper community. Okay? I think that it is because of this theme of community that God is profoundly shaping us. That as we look at the story of God, the biblical story that I talked about earlier, we see all the way back to the very beginning of creation that actually you and I were made for community. You were made for it. Okay, so a little biblical lesson. Genesis 1, 26. Here's how it goes. It says this. Then God said, this is in the creation story. Then God said, and here are the words. It's only one verse, so you can keep track with me. Okay, don't fall asleep. God said, let us make human beings in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. Do you hear it? Let us create mankind in our image. There is a plural here. That's kind of new, huh? So here's my point, that it was actually out of community that you and I were made in the image of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all present at creation. They created you in their likeness, their characteristics. This is why you and I have this deep soul calling thing to be connected. Right? No one lives on an island unto themselves without going completely bananas. Even the desert forefathers, who I don't usually talk about, but Preston reminded me of, he said, you know what's interesting? The desert forefathers, they disappeared to spend solitude for like 30 years all by themselves. And then, you know what they write? They write these beautiful things about times they interacted with people. All this time. That's so interesting that the majority of the desert father quotes that we hear are actually the moments when they encountered other human beings. Because our soul is made after the very characteristics of God, you will always feel a sense that your soul is crying out to be in deeper community, deeper relationships with the people around you. That is actually a God-given thing that's happening. You are made in his very image. You are given his very characteristics. Even as I reminded the young couple yesterday, the first time that God says he isn't happy with something. Okay? Back to Genesis. The first time God says he's not happy with something, well, guess where it is? It's in the next chapter. When he sees that the man is lonely and without companionship. And the scriptures say, he saw it and said, that is not good. And then he creates the woman. And some would argue did a better job the second time. Okay, so this is who you were made to be. So I'm getting a little mystical and all that kind of stuff, but I really want you to keep up that actually the cry of your soul is always going to be calling out to be connected with others. And that's why it's others who can hurt us more than anything else. Because it goes against what your heart and what your soul were made for. We were made for deep and intimate connection and relationship. The whole biblical story that continues on, each biblical story that you read actually has a connection to community. We could have talked about any one of the biblical stories and talked about community. If you just read the Bible, just start to front, you will see actually that the whole story of God and his people is related to how he connects with others and others connect to each other. The Ten Commandments are a great example right at the beginning. The Ten Commandments, I would definitely argue with you that they were actually about teaching the people how to get along with each other, how to care for each other, how to not hurt each other, right? Don't covet your neighbor's wife and donkey and all the other things, right? Because that hurts you and it hurts your community, right? There's another one about killing people because that definitely hurts the community also, right? So we see, right, each of these stories, and you look at David and you look at all the different stories and we make your way through the Old Testament into the New Testament, which I'm going to jump ahead to here for the sake of, you know, I'm getting long-winded already. Every one of the stories has these interesting connections. And I'm going to read for you one quick story. It's very quick. And I want to point out what happens here in the calling of some of the very first disciples. Okay? And here's how it goes. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, and he said, "Come and follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets and at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. And they immediately followed him, leaving their boats and their father behind. Not suggesting that this is the scripture that says you should leave home and ditch everybody, but here's my point, and it's simple as this. Isn't it interesting that the moment Jesus calls these guys to become disciples of him, that they are immediately placed in an intentional, intense community? They immediately are put together as a group of disciples. And it is out of that community of disciples that they begin to figure out how the heart of God beats. As they follow Jesus together, they have all kinds of interesting stories and questions and interactions. Some who are conversations about who's the most important in their group, right? And Jesus responds to that. Sometimes they actually were not getting along, right? They were having a fist fight as they got to know each other, as the kids apparently are doing outside, that's what I'm saying. Right? So we begin to see as this intimate group is called together as they figure that out. And what's another point that I would like to make is they didn't choose who was going to be in that group. They choose to follow Jesus as disciples, to pattern their life after him. There's a difference between a disciple and a Christian. Okay? This is not in my notes, but I do think it's worth clarifying. A Christian says, "This is what I believe." It doesn't mean they necessarily live that out. A disciple says, "I am going to pattern my life after Jesus." Sometimes it merits asking the question, am I being a Christian? Or am I being a disciple? In this particular context, they're called to follow Jesus, to be disciples, to pattern their lives after him. And so they begin to do that, and they do that in the context of a deep, intimate community. Right? They come to follow him and they are immersed in an intentional community. Right? So this is the theme in the early church, and it continues to be the theme as these folks continue to grow together and grow in faith and all of those different things that we've come to love and look to. And see, because God's way of growing us is almost always done together. And what's interesting to me, right, again, is that we don't get to choose who it's done together with. It's actually when we start to do that we start to actually have problems. And we start to take responsibility on ourselves for who gets to be in here and who doesn't. We would be much better to leave that up to God, wouldn't we? And allow him to make the decisions on who will come and be here. Our job is to be disciples of Jesus and to create a safe place for people to join us. right? Allow him to draw us together, even when you have different ideas and thoughts and language and drink choices, right? And here's kind of a key that I think is important. As we focus on him and we allow him to draw us together, in doing so, we learn to rely on each other. Okay, now, let me repeat that, because actually I think this is really important. We must learn to rely on each other. That's actually not something we're good at doing. Our culture is not actually designed to do that. In our day and age, right? I think that that's the hardest part. Right? See, and what's interesting is even I as your pastor, I was one of the people who designed these values, but even I as your pastor, I believe in community. Do you hear the difference? I believe in community. But the hardest thing for me is to admit that I need you. I don't want to need you. I want to be self-sufficient. I want to answer my own questions and deal with my own problems and go through life figuring all these things out so I can be this guy. Everything figured out. And everybody can look at me for an example, but the reality is the community in our midst is imperative, actually. If we want to experience deep God kind of community, we're actually going to have to admit that we need each other. And if we can't do it, we will always find ourselves on the outside looking in. Whether that's the case or not may not be true. But we will sense that. How are you learning to need the person next to you? Right? It might be a good question just to say, you know, this morning, have a look at the person next to you. What does it look like to really need them? Are you letting them enough into that? Right? Some of you are like, dang, I chose the wrong seat today. Right? Like, but just think about that, right? Some giggling over here, so that obviously was happening. Okay, but just think about that. What does it look like for you and I to choose to need each other? Because actually, that is the message of God. That is actually what you were made for all the way back to creation. Your soul cries out for community and relationship. And to have that in its truest form means to admit that you are not all that. And you need others as a part of your story to grow you into who you are. Right? And here's what ends up happening. If we don't do that, what we actually become is a group of people who are consuming together. Okay, and you can do that in a community. You can get together and you can consume something. You can consume your meal that you're eating with somebody. You consume a bottle of wine or mimosa or whatever it is. Right? You can consume those things. In fact, you can even come here and you can consume a worship experience. You can consume coffee. And you can do all of those things. But let me tell you, joined consumption does not grow God kind of community. But facing our need for each other does. You hear me? Joint consumption will never grow a community. It will just become people who are giving and people who are taking. And I'm not saying that's what's happening here. I'm just saying it's important for us to know this. We don't consume worship. We collectively do it together in this context, in this corporate kind of a context, okay? And here's why I am wrapping it up. Jesus made no bones about it that when we do that, when we grow deeper in our community, when we come into intentional community in order to learn common ground, common language, so that we might be able to experience the love of God, that we were never supposed to leave it here. It was always supposed to go. somewhere. It was always supposed to be on the move. It's part of the reason why, you know, we've chosen a bicycle. I didn't bring Preston's, the bike that's on Preston's wall. You probably saw it on our Facebook page this week. If you're looking, we need new metaphors for the church. And for so long, we have made a metaphor of the church a building. And a building doesn't go anywhere. I am sorry. I am not saying a building is bad, but I am saying that we need to consider new metaphors for the church. And the bicycle is a great one because it moves throughout the neighborhood. And children ride them and adults ride them. And you experience the air and the people you ride by, and God takes us out. Jesus made no bones about it. We were supposed to be going out. There are several examples. You can look one up in Luke 10. He sends out his 72 disciples, or 70 disciples, depending on which version you're reading. He sends them out to share this intense and intimate community that they had experienced. And he doesn't send them alone. He sends them with, guess what? Somebody with them. Maybe the person next to you. It's our call to be the kind of community, the kind of people that are taken out into the community. That's who we are. It's actually God's invitation to go out into the community, not so much into this room. Isn't that crazy? There's more scriptural examples of Jesus going out and experiencing the kingdom of God outside than of Jesus saying, you know what, I'd love to talk about this. Would you come to the temple at 10:30? We can talk about this. And there's maybe a better teacher that's there that can do it for you. And they'll be able to answer all your questions and heal all your ailments. And don't read that anywhere. I don't see it anywhere. To be sent out is actually to be the community. To be sent away from this place with a deep sense of security that you belong somewhere gives you the courage to go out and be somebody out there. Last week, I am wrapping it up. Last week, I did a Facebook post, and it was just kind of a random one. I was like, hey, what are the first two words that come to mind when I say church? Anybody see that post? Okay, I was shocked. Almost 100 people responded with two words. I was surprised. They even had 100 friends that are reading what I'm saying on Facebook. But we took those words, those responses, and we turned them into a Wordle. This is called a Wordle. And these are all the responses. And the way that a Wordle or this software works is that it takes the word that's used the most common and it makes it the largest one. Okay, so out of the 100 responses, which was about 200 words, because everybody got to write two, which is the biggest word up there? That our world, and these are not just church people, these are people, like normal people, not like us. I'm just kidding. That when they think of the word church, that community comes to mind, that Jesus comes to mind, that love comes to mind. Interesting. That place comes to mind. That one kind of breaks my heart a little. We got to change the metaphor. We got to be the kind of people here at Lake Ridge that are saying the church is leaving here. The church has left the building and is in the neighborhood, in the community, growing deep, intimate relationships with each other, because the scriptures actually say that it is the way in which we treat each other that people will know God. You know, it's funny. Scriptures actually say that. They don't say it's the way that you play, that Cesar, you know, thrums the guitar, that people will know God. You want to know how? They're going to know how and who we serve by how we treat each other. The community of faith. Let's be that kind of place. Let's be the kind of place, right, that goes out and loves people. Because that's actually where our King is. It doesn't mean you can't come here and experience him here. But I guarantee you, Jesus is doing some work outside of these walls at this very moment in our community. And it might do well for us to see it and to watch it. Every once in a while, I know it would do me good. Lake Ridge has a great power to be the community of faith. It teaches something so profoundly deep that even our neighbors would recognize a cry that their soul cries for. And what's crazy, if you look at that list, there's some negative words on there. And here's why I'll answer that. It's important to answer it. Here's the thing. We are both the example of what it should mean to be kingdom-minded people. And we are also a work in progress. We are to be a representation of the God that we serve in our neighborhood. But we are also working on it together. We got to learn to be gracious with each other as we figure out how we move forward and make this happen. Amen? Let me pray. God, thank you so much that you are a God who has drawn this group of people together for this time. God, may we be the kind of church that continues to be drawn to, that answers the question for each of us, how much we need each other. God, may you give us the spirit that we need in order to go from this place as examples of your great love and compassion and inclusion in your grand kingdom. We ask for wisdom and courage and all of those things. May you draw our community into deeper places so that we might share it with others. We ask you these things in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.